I suppose one of the earliest memories that I have of being told off is don't be rude. Did you see that the word rude came in this? As they offered gifts most rare, at thy cradle, rude and bare. How can a cradle be rude? It doesn't talk. Now, the word in origin means basic. Basic. Nothing else, just a plain, straightforward. And then the word came to mean things that you said that were basic, but perhaps you shouldn't talk about. And then it came to mean perhaps things that you shouldn't say because of the attitude with which you say them. And so that word basic came to mean rude, as we mostly use the word now. But I thought I'd just like to know that, because it was once a nice word. Well now, if you've got your Bibles and you want to see what I'm going to talk about, it's in the first letter of John, and it's chapter 4, and it's the last bit of verse 14. 1 John chapter 4, and it's the last bit of verse 14. The words are, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. So there's the baby lying in a manger. It was rude, there was nothing else except perhaps the hay. Wasn't the sort of place that most would like to be born in. But there is that little baby. And what the Bible tells us here is that that little baby was sent by the Father. He was sent by God, the Heavenly Father. He was sent because there was need to send him. Now, I suppose sometimes mums and dads send children on an errand. And that errand that they send them on may be for something they want and don't have the energy to go and get. It may be that they send on an errand for something that is urgently needed. But nobody gets sent, except if they're sent to prison. Nobody gets sent unless there's a very good reason for it. And if they're sent to prison, there may be a very nasty and bad reason for sending them. But when the Father, who is God, our Heavenly Father, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with as a baby into the world, he had a very good reason for sending him. If he hadn't sent him, none of us could be forgiven, ever, because God is so holy and so pure that nobody could ever get near him. I hope you've been told never to look at the sun. The sun is so bright. Do you know how many million miles away it is? Give or take the odd million, it's reckoned to be 93 million. It may be 92.5. What's half a million miles? It's not very far, is it? But if you look directly at the sun, you may ruin your eyesight. Your eyes are made to take in light, but not that bright. That would be how it would be like to see God. The minute we got anywhere near him, his purity would immediately destroy us for the things that we've ever done or thought that were naughty or wrong. And that's why we taught you the verse that Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Because he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, so that by having our sins forgiven in him, we could actually come near to God. So the Father sent the Son so that one day we would be able to come near to him. But if he was going to be people, a person like us, he had to be born and he had to grow like us. But he was made in a special way. The Holy Spirit caused him to be begotten, and caused him to grow, and he was without sin. As I've sometimes said to you before, even a little baby can sin. And if you've got younger brothers and sisters, you can probably tell the difference between when they cry because they have a need of food, milk, or being cuddled, or of being cleaned, and when it's temper, because they're not getting their own way when they want it. At first, new mums can't always tell the difference. But when they get to know their own child, they infallibly begin to know when it's temper and when it isn't. And from a very, very young age, even before we can remember, there are times when we've shown temper. That's a way of saying that we're born with sin, from long before we can deliberately remember to do things. We're born in sin. And that's because God cursed the world because of Adam. All those that follow him have built into him the very rebellion and disobedience that Adam had. We can't help it, but it's still there. And it still has to be dealt with if we're going to meet the Lord in heaven. So the Father sent his Son. But he had to be like us in order to experience what we go through. But though he was like us, he was also perfectly God, and he never, ever sinned. I believe that's right, but I find it ever so difficult to think about, because I can't go through a day without doing something wrong. My wife knows that better even than I do. But I can't go through a day without doing anything wrong. And if she doesn't forgive me at the end of the day, well, that's not going to be very nice for either of us. And if we can't do things that are right in the sight of God, it's not going to end up very nice. But the Father is love. We read that God is love. And therefore, he doesn't want us always not to be able to be close to him or to come to him. God found a way by which he could be absolutely fair, absolutely just, to deal with our sins and punish us if we need to be punished, and at the same time be absolutely loving. And it has everything to do with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who'd always been with God in heaven right up till that time, came to earth and was born as a baby. The Father sent him. He sent him to be the Saviour. The name Jesus means Saviour. And the word to save is easily done. Do you know what a synonym is? Have you ever met that? A synonym, perhaps you'd begin it in English at school sometimes, two words that mean the same. They're synonyms. You could put one or you could put the other. To save is to rescue. To save is to rescue. Someone drowning, you could either throw them something or you could go in the water yourself. One way is safer than the other. But on the other hand, it may be better to go in. It just depends on the circumstance. But to save means to rescue. You don't go and rescue somebody who doesn't need rescue. That'd be stupid. It wouldn't be a rescue, would it? So, Jesus came to save sinful men and women. And he was sent to be the Saviour of the world. He came in order to deal with our sins. Now, part of the sins are the things that we see in the world. All the wars, all the terrible things that people do to one another. And they only do it because it's in them to do it, because it's in them to be cruel. The Lord Jesus taught us that nothing entering from outside us can make us bad. It's a funny thing, I've often thought about what Jesus meant. And what he meant was this, that any badness we've got was always there. Always there. What can outside influences do? Well, I'll tell you what they can do. When I was younger, I was tempted to steal and did steal with boys at school. Now that wanting to steal had to be in me from before. But I think probably I would never have done it if there had not been two or three or four or five or six other boys of my own age who were going to do it too. So we egged each other on. In other words, it was always there in all of us, but till we got together we didn't actually do it. Nothing entering into a man from outside can defile him, but it's that which comes out of his heart. So we needed to be saved in two ways. Can you imagine me then with this stealing? One, I need to be forgiven for ever having done it and perhaps make it up to the people I stole from. But secondly, I needed to be cured from the wanting to do it. There are two things, you see. The actual things you've done and the actual wanting to do the things that are wrong. We always have to fight the temptations to do the things that are wrong. But we also need to be forgiven for the things we've actually done. So Jesus came to be the saviour from our sins, to rescue us from the things we've done wrong. If God is angry with the wicked every day, we needed to be rescued. But we also need to be rescued so that we don't do the things that we used to do. And sometimes the Lord enables us not to do them anymore and never do them again. Sometimes it takes a little bit to do it. I can easily illustrate that as well. My wife's mum used to smoke a lot. And one day our daughter, Carol, who's now grown up with children of your age, she said to Grandma, "Grandma, why do you smoke so much?" You can just imagine someone of that age saying to Grandma, "Grandma, why do you smoke so much?" She looked in astonishment and said, "I really don't know." She never did again. That's what a little child did. She never did again. So sometimes things can just go with the help of God straight away. Other times it takes a long, long while and you have to work at it. Some people try and stop smoking and it's very, very hard. One naughty thing that I used to do, among the other naughty things, is I was brought up, and in the streets where I played, everybody swore. And I hate swearing now, particularly, because I remember when I used to do it. And I got so bad that I swore every other word. And I can remember, because I'd heard men swearing every other word, that I wanted to try and swear every other word. Actually, seriously, make it every other word. And I knew a few. And because I was intelligent, I used to try and find out what those words mean and look them up in the dictionary and learn things I didn't ought to have known as a youngster, what they all meant. And when the Lord saved me, lots of things got better immediately. But this one thing did not go. I had to fight it for a good 3 years before I could be sure that my language, if I got a little bit annoyed or something, didn't go back to what it used to be. And the reason I hate hearing any form of swearing now is partly because I think it just might tempt me again. It's just that little fear. It never has, but I always just fear that it might. But I don't know that it does. But we don't swear because the Lord Jesus simply said, "Do not swear. Let your speech be straightforward. Yes, no. Not yes by something or no by something or good whatever. But just plain yes, no, whatever you want to say, unfurnished." The Lord Jesus taught that. Keeps us clean and pure. Because most swearing is not clean and pure. So we need to be saved in all sorts of ways. But it's the Lord Jesus who was sent by the Father. So no other religion saves in the way that Christ can save. The Father sent the Son to be the saviour of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody will be saved, that everybody who's ever lived in the world will be saved, because we know from reading the Bible that lots of people never were. What it means is that people will be saved in every part of the world and at different times of history. He came to be the saviour of the world. Some will be saved as they were in the Bible from Ethiopia at a certain time. And perhaps all through time there'll be one and another here. Some will be saved in South America, some in South... It's all over the world. He's the saviour of the world in that sort, but it doesn't mean he saves every single person so that any of us could say, oh, well, he's going to save us. I'm bound to be saved, bound to go to heaven. It's just not true according to the Bible. When it says that the Father sent the Lord Jesus to be the saviour of the world, it means he came to save people at all times of history and from every part of the world. We live 2,000 years later. We live in the part of the world that Jesus never came to. But he came to be the saviour of the world. And there is no reason why any of us here today shouldn't understand why he came and shouldn't earnestly desire that we shall have the benefits of why he came. There's no reason why we shouldn't come to him, because he died and rose again and is alive. And by his Spirit, he may come to us. There's no reason why we shouldn't pray to him and repent of our sins and turn from them and say that we want him to forgive us so that we could be received by God, our Heavenly Father, as a child to a father, and not be uneasy in the presence of God, but feel at home in the presence of such a God who is love, but is also, as the Bible says, a consuming fire. Can you remember these words? 1 John 4:14. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world, but exclusively the Lord Jesus. There is no other Saviour, no other religion, and no absence of religion will save us according to the Bible. And the Bible is the word that God gave to reveal to us exactly how he wants people to be. I've found it a help ever since I became a believer. I've never found anything wrong in it. Things that I thought were wrong, I discovered were me. I didn't know something, or didn't bear something in mind, or hadn't read something. There's nothing wrong in the Bible. The Father sent the Lord Jesus to be the Saviour of the world. When you see him in mind's eye as a babe, and we celebrate at Christmas, remember why he came and how important and fundamental it was that he should come, and that people got it right in making it to be remembered that he came into the world. He was unique. But then if we ignore it, we're ignoring the principal thing in history, so important that it changed the dating in the world before Christ and after Christ. To ignore that would be folly. We may follow millions into folly, but equally, we may follow millions into salvation and be accepted by God in Christ. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. 1 John 4, verse 14. Well, thank you for being so patient. One last hymn to say.